Welcome back to the pod. Guess what, guys? I got a free stand-up show in LA coming up next week, Wednesday, April 3rd, 10 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Free stand-up show featuring your boy, me, Ali Makovsky, Johnny Mitchell, and other comedians you haven't heard of. but they are hilarious, up-and-coming comedians. I got to get Ali on this podcast. She's been opening for Joe Rogan. So freaking funny. She's going to be a huge star. Come see her April 3rd, 10 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Giving away free tickets. Claim your free ticket by clicking the Eventbrite link in the description of this pod. Do it. Free tickets. I'm going to have some managers there to watch me. So fucking come and fake laugh at my genius jokes. On this episode of I'm Sorry, Dad, we have a good friend, a big supporter of the podcast, and he's also an amazing producer, Nicholas Caprio. We talk a lot about him and also a lot about his new film that is coming out. It's called The Boy Band Con, The Lou Pearlman Story. It's all about the evil manager that managed NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, O-Town, and a bunch of boy bands in the 90s boy band craze. And it's a dark tale. So it's really, really fascinating about pretty much an evil manager managing boy bands. It's a really fascinating story, and I really do think you guys will love it. I think it's right up our alley. It's right up I'm Sorry Dad's alley. Evil manager and boy bands. Like, Brandon loves boy bands. I love evil managers. Check out The Boy Band Con, The Lou Pearlman Story. That is in theaters. Let me see. Gotta check Nick's text. That'll be in theaters in LA beginning Wednesday the 27th at the Arclight Sherman Oaks, and in New York beginning Friday the 29th at the AMC 34th Street. And then it drops on YouTube Premium for everybody on April 3rd. So April 3rd, mark it down. That's when I have my stand-up show. Come click the link in the description for free tickets to the stand-up show, and then fucking watch The Boy Band Con on April 3rd. God damn it, do it. Big thank you to Harry's for sponsoring this episode. Harry's is a shaving club, pretty much. And they sent me some razors, and I've been using it on my neck, like I said last time. And that's my favorite part, the closeness, the smoothness, the comfortable glide. I don't get razor burn on my neck anymore. So thank you, Harry's. Thanks for being a sponsor. And thank you for the amazing razors. You can join the 10 million people who have tried Harry's already by claiming your trial offer by going to harrys.com/dad. Harry's founders were tired of paying up for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned, and they knew that a great shave didn't come from gimmicks like vibrating heads, flex balls, or handles that look like spaceships. I'm thinking about some past razors that I've had. I got suckered into that. Well, they fixed all that by combining a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each, and that's half the price of the Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. All Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. You can get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, in a travel blade cover. Listeners of I'm Sorry Dad can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/dad. Make sure you go to harrys.com/dad to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. For real, if you order Harry's, tweet them. Let them know I'm Sorry Dad sent you. Let them know that you're sorry, Dad. All right, we're about to start, but I just wanted to remind you to email us at imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. Send us questions, send us weird videos, send us thoughts. You can even send us suggestions on how to improve the show. I'm going to be buying a new soundboard, like, right after I finish recording this, and guys, it's going to blow you away. No, it'll just give us more options to do for the show and stuff. All right, email the pod, imsorrydadpod@gmail.com, and enjoy this episode with our good friend and producer, Nicholas Caprio. And we're recording
with
our guest, Nicholas Caprio.
Hello there.
Producer extraordinaire, friend of the pod, supporter of the pod. He just, I just checked Patreon. Nicholas is donating $100 a month, and that's the only reason why you're here.
Exactly.
If you'd like to be in the podcast.
Exactly.
That'd be funny. We just have the worst guests. It's like, hey, I paid $100. Like, what do you do? Like,
nothing.
Joe from Wisconsin. I just wanted to be
actually
on.
Actually, they just don't say anything. They're just like,
yeah. I'm just proud to be on.
Yeah.
Proud to be
on. So how you doing, Nick?
Yeah,
Brandon,
how are you?
That Brandon does that because he knows I can't stand being called Nick.
I don't know. I don't know why it's such a big problem. It's just the, what would you call that? The abbreviation?
The nickname?
Oh, Christ. Welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Thank you, Brandy.
No worries. Well, see, I don't get, like I said, I don't get upset when you call me Brandy because it's just, it's all right. It's fine. If you called me like Jose, I'd be like, that's not my name. So that's a little weird. But your name isn't, it can be Nick.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, Jose.
Oh, okay, well, hold on.
Ryan said that this was your coming out podcast. So I felt honored to be a part of it.
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Do it. Go.
Oh man. Okay. Nothing like forcing somebody to come out. I am straight.
Damn.
It's disappointing.
Sorry, Nick.
Hey, what's happening here is your friend Nicholas.
Yep.
Is bothered when you call him Nick.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do as his friend is you make an adjustment and call him fuckface.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of my friend, how is your head?
Oh yeah, Brandon. Brandon, you just hit your head a few months ago. Tell the story.
Yeah, I was getting something out of the trunk of my car, and I was down in the trunk, and the trunk itself was coming down as I was going up to get out of the trunk.
Just through gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just slammed my head on the trunk.
No, his girlfriend was behind him.
So I slammed my head on the trunk and it hurt a whole lot. And I got this huge welt on my head and I didn't pass out. Nothing happened. And then everyone was like, you're fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, it really hurts. And they're like, you don't have a concussion. So
you talking doctors or just,
no, just family. Family were just like, you don't have a concussion. You didn't pass out. You didn't throw up. None of that stuff. So I just, for the next like week, I started getting headaches and I've had like headaches every single day for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to get an MRI done and there's no result. There's nothing to this story because there's no like end, there's no payoff. It's just like I got an MRI recently.
And?
You didn't get the results yet.
I haven't gotten the results yet.
No, but what the story is that, but for a long time, the doctors you went to were just like, you're fine. And you're like, yeah, but I still have headaches. And they're like, you're fine. And then you finally got somebody to actually give you an MRI.
Yeah, that's kind of what I realized about doctors is one diagnosis is not like the facts.
Right.
Because so many, they're wrong so many of the time.
You got to go on WebMD.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you have to self-diagnose.
Yes.
That's important.
So I would talk to him and I would say like, listen, you know, I'm sure you're fine. I mean, although this kind of tumor is very hard to detect. You're like, what do you mean? What kind of tumor? And I'm like, I'm just kidding, bro.
That's when we go to my doctor. I was like, my friend Nick, he said I had a tumor. But he was like, yeah, we'll give you some migraine medication and throw you in the MRI and, every other doctor was like, we don't want you to go into an MRI because of radiation.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't give a fuck about radiation. I want to know what's rattling inside my brain.
Yep.
So
what kind of medication did they put you on?
Excedrin.
Oh, so nothing like addictive. That's too bad.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
You should
Vicodin?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You should get on pills. We should all start doing pills.
Who's down?
Everyone listening.
Mahogany, you down?
No, Mahogany's not down. Listen, if I ever decide to, you know, break my sobriety. You guys are the one.
You're sober?
Yes.
I mean, I'm very happy for you.
What a loser.
What a loser. You're gay and sober?
Wait.
What a square.
You're gay?
No. That was a joke.
Good.
That was a joke.
What? It's okay. This is the coming out podcast for you, Nick.
If you do indeed want to break your sobriety, I have 30 boxes of Franzia boxed wine right behind you. I want them to, they got to be a sponsor of the podcast because.
Yeah.
For those listening, I have 100 boxes of boxed wine
for a brand deal for you.
Yeah.
Why did they send you so much? Are you building
because
a tower out of fucking boxed?
Because he's an alcoholic.
yeah, right. Because they want me to die.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe those are the smallest things they come in. So like, well, they had to send me all their flavors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. It's just, I just way too much. So every episode for the next 6 months, we're going to be blacked out by the end. Even today, this morning, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock a.m. Anyways, we got sidetracked. Brandon, you have cancer.
Yep.
Yes. Invasive, metastasizing, silent.
Yeah. Nice vocab. Thank
you. For all those words.
But you went to a chiropractor recently, right?
Yeah. He's a big hulking dude.
I mean, no need to shat fat shame. Shat fame.
What?
What?
Fat shame.
I said big. That doesn't mean that he's...
Like he could be very muscly.
He's not even muscly. He's just like, he has thick bones. He's one of those like skinny guys with thick, you can just tell he has very thick bones when he walks around. Like,
which is why he became a chiropractor.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the thick bones.
He's always in pain.
But like he's been doing some work, you know what I mean?
So what did he do? Did he crack you up?
Yeah. Crack me up and down.
Did you feel good?
No.
Did he jerk you off at the end?
Yeah. No, it doesn't feel good at all. Chiropractic hurts a lot. He's just like digging his thumb into my neck and just violently like, and he was like, I have never seen in all my years of chiropracting a back this bad. Like your back is like, it's a rare case. Like you have so many knots. You're so incredibly tight. I don't know.
I can knowing you, your personality.
Yeah. No, he was just like, I've never seen this before. And he was like, this is going to take some work. Granted, that could just be him trying to
take $30,000.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to need to be. I'm going to need to see you every hour.
Yeah.
For.
But he's very. He lives in my building. I didn't even know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's convenient.
Lives in my building.
Huh? That's convenient.
I know.
Is his office in the building?
No, his office is like down the street from our building, I guess. But yeah,
it would be funny if actually his office was in Culver City or something.
Yeah, we have to check. This is Nevada.
You just ride with him to work. Because you need to see him every hour. Are you going to go back?
Yeah. I've gone twice in the past week.
How much does this cost?
I don't want to say.
He barters.
We did a bartering thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bartered.
So he jerks you off.
No, I jerk him off.
I was saying you got it backwards. Barter.
Yeah, I jerk him off for a lower, for a discount.
So, but does it feel different?
No, I mean, not really. I don't know. I'm also taking like pain meds, like fucking up the wazoo. So I don't even know if it's working on its own. That's the problem. And I was like, but I don't want to get off pain meds. And then, well, eventually I have to get off pain meds. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I hate medicine a lot. It scares me.
Yeah.
This medicine that I'm taking is destroying my stomach. Like nice. They said that
Excedrin? They were like,
yeah.
No, naproxen.
Naproxen. I don't know that.
That's the migraine medicine, right?
No, that's just it's just for overall pain shit. It's just overall pain.
Oh, that's right, because you have like a slip disc.
I have a disc problem in my neck, but the
you got smartphone neck.
Yeah, they were saying like the reason why you have it is because you're doing this
doing
all the time,
this all
looking,
day,
looking down.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, do you have a lot of people who come in for this? And they're like, oh yeah, so many people. And
I think I have phone neck.
Mm-hmm.
A little case.
Yeah,
not too bad, but
does it hurt?
I got some phone neck. Yeah, I got a creaky neck.
Well, as funny as it is, they actually are saying that people's posture now is starting to curve this way because our heads are always looking down.
I bet.
Huh. Yeah. Are we going to be back on all fours soon?
Yes. That's why you see the evolution chart.
Yeah.
Just going back down.
It's just a wave. But he thinks that all the pain in my head is coming from my neck.
Mm.
Because you see, like, it's all connected. See, your shoulders are connected to your neck, which is connected to your head, which is connected to your penis. So let me go down there and work on it a little bit. But no, he's...
I have to drink your cum. Yikes.
You see, it's an elixir I make.
I mean, that's it. I mean, I will know the results of the MRI. And everyone's like, it's probably going to be fine. But I would, honestly, dude, if I found out that I had, like, a malignant tumor in my head, I'd just laugh.
Yeah?
I would laugh. I'd just be like, that's hilarious.
Here, let's reenact it. Brandon, you have a malignant tumor.
I knew it!
Slapping my knee.
See, I told you I was sick.
Yeah.
Now, what fits better into the Brandon story is that there will be no evidence of anything, but he'll still have the headaches and won't know what it's about.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Unknown, I guess. But yeah, it's probably nothing. It's just that it's... I don't know.
It's just you're insane.
No, it's just because there's a thing, dude, called like post-concussion syndrome that not a lot of people get, I guess. But what these like, this is what I don't understand about fighters. Like people who like in the UFC, they get knocked in the head all the time. What is that? Oh, it's that.
Oh, it's my fan.
Oh, I thought we were having an earthquake.
That'd be cool. Very, very.
That'd be awesome in the middle of the podcast.
Earthquake.
Dude, this would go so viral.
Do you say earthcake?
Earthcake. For Earth Day.
Earthcake sounds like a vegan cake shop. Man, that was a great fucking little observation. Anyways. But
UFC.
UFC. But like the guys in UFC get like, that's their job is to just get punched in the face constantly. And they like the next week they're back doing it. And I got hit in the head with my trunk and I've been out for 3 months.
And you closed.
And I closed it on my head. I closed the trunk.
What we don't know, it wasn't his girlfriend, it wasn't whatever. It was literally to him just one day after a really bad day. He was just like.
And you've done, this is not the first time.
No, it's not the first time I've done this. It's been, there's been, there was one other time where I was getting something out of my, is that the camera? Or is that just a thing?
Oh, it's outside.
Oh, it's outside, okay.
So many distractions.
It's yeah. The noise podcast.
I've had a lot of, I think it's like two other times where I've hit my head on either my trunk or my fridge.
That's kind of funny.
Wait, I know it's hilarious.
I get the trunk, but the fridge?
So when I'm in the fridge, yeah. I'm going down to get something and then the freezer door just it's like Final Destination, but like not trying to kill me, just trying to make me look like an idiot.
But with doors.
Yeah, but with doors and trunks. So silly.
You got to write that movie, dude. Final Destination doors. yeah, it is pretty funny because the way it's difficult to word it. Like you kind of do have to say like I hit my head on my trunk.
That's what I have to say to everybody.
I closed the trunk on my head.
Yeah, and people say like, did somebody smash your head on the trunk? Yeah. I said no, I smashed my head on the trunk. Right. And they're like, how did you do that? And I have to explain.
I picture you with your head in it, and then. then I can't even explain it.
You know what I think the problem is that I try and...
Is you're stupid.
Yes. But I try and do everything very...
Quickly?
Yes. I try to do things very fast. Yeah. Like when I was going down... Ironically, the thing I was getting was Advil for my trunk because I had a headache.
That's funny.
So I was going down to get the Advil and I was just like, I gotta get the... But I don't know why I was in a rush. I didn't have anything to do. There was like, it wasn't any like thing I had to go to. I was just going down really quick. Like the... No, this is what happened. So the trunk was opening, right? Uh-huh. It was just like doing slowly opening. Yeah. And I went down and it must have just, I must have hit it on the trunk like that.
Okay, you know that's
on
worse.
Way down.
That's always, way worse.
It's way worse. I always imagined, you know, it was there, you were in the trunk and you hit it. But you're saying you...
No, because I hit it right here on the front of my head.
You were just watching and...
Right I down. Wasn't watching. I was just, see, I have no, I don't know. That like, I must have no
that,
peripheral
that makes
vision.
It a thousand times
no,
worse.
I know. It makes it so much worse. And I remember when it happened, I was yelling so much, not because it hurt,
Wow.
but
can
because.
Can you reenact the yell for us?
Oh, God. Fuck, man. Fuck.
See, I thought.
I kept saying, fuck, fuck, fuck. And the reason why was because I was walking upstairs and I was like, God damn it. Now I'm going to be fucking wrecked for like a month because I'm not going to know if my headaches are caused by this or it's caused by my fucking neck or it's caused by, for whatever reason, I'm going to be fucking. And I was telling my girlfriend that I was like, fuck, fuck, man, this fucking sucks.
And she was like, I can't do this anymore. I am leaving you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's and what then I, the headaches.
Yeah, no, she's a saint, man. she's man. But yeah,
you seem okay today.
Yeah, cause I don't have one today.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I don't have a headache today, so it's fine. Man. But it's just been having one for 3 months. It's
getting old.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you had a short fuse at all? Like with strangers and shit like that.
Yeah, totally.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. I've gotten so much more. Like angry with people randomly. I mean, not like to their face, but like internally.
I noticed that on the last episode. I was not maliciously at all, but I was like, Brandon, you hate Adam Sandler. Our guest loves him. Go. And you're like, right. What the fuck? I don't hate Adam Sandler.
Yeah. No.
Shit. Okay.
I remember that. And that's just because half of my brain was on fire.
Yeah.
And
your eye was like getting swollen. Yeah, man. Jeez, you're just terrible to be around. Please,
that's true.
Well,
that's why we have Nick on the podcast.
It's rare because, you know, Brandon doesn't like to see doctors.
No, not at all.
I actually thought this the other day when I was coming out of the MRI. I was like, if I didn't want to like be in entertainment or like be a writer, I'd be a doctor for sure.
So that you could self-diagnose.
Yeah, so I could self-diagnose. But I like the feeling of, I like hospitals. I don't know why, but I like hospitals.
Well, your mom's a nurse.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, but she's not a nurse. She's a sleep technician. She like figures out what's wrong with.
She sleeps. She just goes to work and sleeps. That lazy bitch.
Wait, really? She's like, when you go.
Wow. Just kidding, Mrs. Calvillo. Or wait,
it doesn't matter.
Her name.
Yeah, her last name. No, it's her last name. It's fine.
Okay.
Wait, so she does like when you go for a sleep study?
It's Westfall.
Huh? It is?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the dad. My last name is my father's last name.
Yes, no, I get how it works.
Since we're still living in this system. It's a weird system.
Brandon Westfall.
Yeah.
I like that better.
Yeah. That's what we're going to go with from now on.
Brandon.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well, you don't like hospitals, Nick?
Who likes hospitals?
Nicholas.
Why doesn't anybody like hospitals? Like, it's kind of like comforting because everyone's there to get better.
No, you know actually, I have the opposite. I have the opposite thing because, like Brendan, I'm also a hypochondriac. And so when I'm at the hospital, I think everything bad happens here. So even though you're surrounded by people who could help you, I'm thinking, oh my God, but this is where it happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it makes me more anxious.
Yeah. There's tons of sick people there with germs and stuff.
Yeah.
So all the germs are there.
Do you think there's like a room where they just like toss the bodies?
Yeah, it's called the morgue.
Oh yeah. No, but like, I just meant like, I know, but like just tossing, but like the morgue is like pull out. Okay,
yeah, exactly. The yeah. They're just like, ah, these people don't have insurance. yeah. Fred, I got another one for you. And he just comes in and he just throws a body in a room. Eventually, the surgical resident.
There's one guy that's like, I'm not dead.
Exactly.
But no, I don't like them. I like hospitals.
And we'll get to know our guests soon. But I have more questions about you, Brandon.
Okay.
You've been seeing a therapist lately.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't feel any better from it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's been twice.
It's been,
right?
Yeah, it's been twice. But still, I don't feel any better from it so far. I mean, it's nice to.
Wait, you've gone twice in 3 months?
Like it's been like a month.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's been a month.
Yeah,
but I get the same feeling.
It's a little frightening just how much I know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the thing about it is that I do the same thing I do with my therapist to my friends, and I know that they all hate it. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing the same. Like I'm getting everything out.
But does the therapist have any answers for
no.
you?
No. Not better answers than most of my friends. You know, it's like the same tier of like, like quality answers. It's like I talk to Nick a lot about a lot of things, and
that's nice.
You've given me better advice than my therapist has so
well,
far.
I mean,
and that's not to drag her
in
any way.
In her defense,
saying,
though,
I mean?
It's like, you know, that first one is sort of like, hi, here I prepared a video for you. I used to tell them, I was like,
yeah,
just show them a couple videos, you know, people have made it, they'll tell the story easier. And then it's like the next one, like, okay, so did you remember all that stuff I told you last time?
Right.
Okay, yeah. So now today this happened, and I imagine it takes a little while to get into
the rhythm. Probably.
I guess. I don't know. Like so far, and this is prejudging it, but it's like, I don't know. I don't see how it's helping, but it could help later on. I don't know.
Yeah. And it could, I don't know, what's that style of therapy? Like,
cognitive behavioral therapy?
Is it?
What you mean where they're just listening?
I don't know. Like, we have the same therapist, right? Do you still see her?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I kind of stormed out of my last session.
Really?
And, yeah.
So,
wait, what?
Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, it's fine. I just was feeling incredibly judged. And and basically they were like sort of like, again, from my lens, not saying this the way it is, I'm just saying from my lens, it sort of felt like they were saying, yeah, this is really no help for you. This is just sort of the way you're going to be. And but with sort of a judgy kind of, I don't think they liked what I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
And so all through the session, I kept feeling that like sort of judgment. And a couple of times she's like, I don't even know where are you today? And I was sort of explaining
she said that to me.
Yeah. I was sort of explaining what I had done. And then it was getting sort of more and more judgy. And then I was like, and then I finally said, I just want to understand why I do this. And they said, well, I don't think you need to understand why you do it. And I was like, oh, okay. Hmm. And then I was like, okay, if I don't need to understand why I do it, like what I didn't say, I was like, well, what am I here for? Like,
right, yeah.
You know. And then it was just sort of one of those things where it was like, well, I mean, I just kind of think this is it. And then they sort of gave me a litany of the things that were, you know, sort of good in my life, which I know. And then I was just like, okay, then, well, I guess we don't really have anything else to talk about. But actually it was, it's my phone. I was like, maybe it was just a technique because nothing motivates me more than trying to prove somebody wrong.
Mm. Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, so you say I can't change, huh?
Yeah.
I'll show you how happy I can be.
Yeah.
Look at this happiness. So I'm investigating. We've had a couple correspondence back and forth, but
really?
I basically said, take me out of the books. And then, but I actually think she's a rather extraordinary woman. So, you know, it was a difficult sort of thing.
Yeah, she's upset me before. She didn't like what I was talking about. I've talked about it on the podcast before. She called me a misogynist one day.
Right.
She was like, you are a misogynist. Because I was talking about the mean voice in my head. It's like, get the fuck out of bed, you fucking pussy.
Right.
She was like, don't use those words, please.
What?
I was like, I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yada, yada,
it's
yada.
Always great.
I wanted to storm out. I wanted to be like, what the fuck? Bitch.
Yeah.
You whore. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good when... I mean, it sounds like she brought her own personal baggage to the therapy session.
Yeah.
I was late that time. She was like, you're late.
That's
she was already upset.
Yeah. That's so funny because I was late. And I'm never late. And I can't stand people who are late. I mean, it was only like a minute or 2 minutes. I felt like, you know, I mean. And so I think that, but what I learned from it, other than that I'll have to prove her wrong, is that rather than sit there the entire time thinking I'm being judged and being whatever, and then finally just being like, thanks for giving up on me and you know, walking out the door after I threw my check down on the table, I could have just said, hey, I need to take a break here because what I'm feeling, whether you mean it or not, here's what's going on with me. And it's probably me, but I need to say it because I'm starting to get very, very angry.
Yeah.
And that would have been the thing that the person I started to go see her, that's who I want to be.
Uh-huh.
So that would have been the better choice. And it was just because I felt shame. You know what I mean? Yeah. I felt, felt embarrassed and sort of judged and shameful because I was sort of explaining that I was doing some of the same stuff that I do that I know only brings me misery. Uh-huh. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, you know, when you live a certain way for a long time, it's just comfortable. So I'm comfortable being miserable or whatever. And so, anyway, so that's that.
Yeah. You have a right to be offended.
Yeah.
That's what she tells me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
I got mad at her. I was mad at her after that session. Then I went back the next whatever month or something. And I was like, I was very upset with you. She's like, okay, tell me. Let's talk about it. This is good.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I sort of emailed, said, you know, take whatever. And then lots of compliments. And then she wrote me back and did whatever. And then I wrote back and I was like, well, if you don't really think that there's no hope, like, well, then why don't we... And I was like, okay, now we're not going to do this in email. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. So you might be breaking up.
So what you're saying is that your therapist is causing you stress.
Exactly. Well, actually, no, like I said, it's, I was like, yeah, I'll show you. I'll be happy. Yeah.
Maybe that's her technique.
I was like, maybe that is what it is.
Maybe that's why she was like, you're a misogynist. I was like, I'll show you.
Well, I'm not a misogynist.
I don't know.
No,
start respecting women? That just sounds stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you do that? Stupid bitch.
I think that your therapist, both your therapists, you're saying that you are going back or not?
I'm not.
You're not going back. So just your therapist, right?
Yeah.
How long have you been seeing her?
Over a year.
So you've got some attachment to her. Attachment.
Yeah, why? What are you about to say?
What I'm about to say is that...
I'm going with you to the next session.
No, what I was going to say is just that I think... I don't know. You've had a lot of complaints about her more than I've heard good things. And when I hear that for any person... I mean, I don't know. Just what I've heard.
Yeah, I've had I have mostly good things, but I'm not going to say in the podcast like hey.
That's what's so weird about it is that you only say bad things.
Yeah, but that's kind of isn't that what you
it's
know?
Normal, I guess.
It's rare if you're having trouble with, you know, like somebody that you call up someone you're like, hey, Brandon, I want you to know that I had a really good time with my girlfriend yeah. tonight. You yeah. know, usually yeah, it's yeah. like, I can't believe she said this.
It's true. Yeah. I guess because when you have something to vent about,
right,
it comes out because you need to get that out. But exactly. when there's no problems, you're just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I guess this podcast is done. This
yeah.
is
our all end. Right. So
we don't have to talk anymore.
That's great.
Imagine if just like a therapy session.
Like, that's all the time we have.
Last episode ever. We have it all figured out. Brandon has
yeah,
cancer.
Exactly.
Brandon has cancer. Ryan's a misogynist.
And I'll never be happy.
And
so,
Nick is comfortable being miserable.
Our work here is done.
There we go.
All right. So
Mahogany, you take over.
So Nicholas.
Yes, sir.
Or Nick, as Brandon hatefully calls you.
Yes.
Nick.
I say it like that too.
It's like, oh, you were shaving. Ow!
Yeah.
What happened? I fucking nicked my neck.
So you became aware of us two. How did you get into our lives? The Vlog Squad?
Actually, like I get into most people's lives, I push my way in. And just am I always say that I am an odd mixture of cripplingly insecure and incredibly persistent.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm an isolationist who loves the company of other people.
Yeah.
So, well, you, I knew because we are
right.
1620 Division did a pilot presentation with you.
Yes. I was, made a sizzle reel, which is like a preview of a TV show that we were trying to make together.
Yes.
Me and your production company, Pilgrim. Yes.
Pilgrim Media Group. Yeah, and it actually, it was so funny. I was looking at it again, and I was like, we should go back out with that.
With me?
Yes, with you.
I recently rewatched that, and I was like, I could have been funnier and more entertaining.
I actually liked it.
What was the show?
It was basically, like the morning after, you have a hangover.
Yeah.
And then you go to try all the different places.
Oh, the food show.
Yeah.
Food show. Yeah, you told me about this.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea. And it was funny because, you know, we start with him, like we basically wake up with him mm-hmm. in the morning. No, it was really good. So I think we should. I have an idea of where it might go.
Hmm. You're going to reboot that?
Yeah. What's the idea? A new ethnically ambiguous host?
Yes.
Just say it.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. Someone who's a little less misogynistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't have that on his network, all right?
So I actually, that's how I knew you, and I actually didn't even realize that you guys were all connected until I heard the podcast.
Gotcha.
So what really happened was that for whatever reason, Scotty Sire and I follow each other on Twitter.
I remember you telling me that. Actually, and you thought he was cute.
Well, of course he's cute. I mean, come on.
I think he's cute, too.
Yeah, I mean, how do you
he's
not,
a hot guy.
How do you not think he's cute?
He's a hot cute. Man. He's cute. All right, fine.
And so I was watching some of his, you know, videos. And then I know what it was. I came across a video where David cut his hand when he they were playing a game with a wine bottle or something. And he cut his hand. And I became completely intrigued because all they could think about was getting a
thumbnail
for their video, which I thought was brilliant. And so then I started watching those videos and then I became obsessed with the fact that they lived in this house and there was no furniture in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is there no furniture? Like, I didn't quite understand that that's sort of the way it is so that they don't destroy the house while they're doing the vlogs. I didn't quite get that. And so I became obsessed with furnishing the house. And so I reached out to David actually. And then I started watching everybody else's. I heard this podcast. I think he's really talented. Brandon. I'm pointing to Brandon if you can't see. So I started watching his, the little movies he does. My God, I sound like my grandmother. The little movies that he does, you know, the little movies.
Stop action films you do.
And I was like, wow, he's really talented. So I brought him in to, we were doing a show for Nerdist about we were sort of doing a radio play show and I wanted him to write it. But you were busy doing something. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
And then...
jerking off.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or having my chiropractor jerk me off.
Exactly. Yeah. Now he was like, okay, it's one thing to have the stalker follow me on Instagram. It's another thing to have me work with him every day. And then I just really like his shorts. So I was just like, whatever I can do, you know, to help.
Yeah.
And
then eventually he became basically a producer for the shorts.
Yes.
Like later on, like in them.
Yeah.
So you would basically give us money
for the shorts. That's kind of what an executive producer does.
You both roles.
Yes. Yeah. But no, I actually like, I was in one.
You were in one of them.
Yes. And
the shorts or the vlogs?
The shorts.
He was also in some of the, he was one of the vlogs, I think.
I'm in
the Jonah vlog.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was in that vlog.
Yeah.
And I think, I think you're wicked talented. I think you are as well, which is why I go to your comedy shows and whatever. By the way, you're like out every night doing a show, which is amazing.
This past week, I was at the Improv three nights in a row.
I know.
And all three nights were difficult. That goddamn room.
It's that room. I got to tell you, man, that I have been, how many times have I been there?
Yeah.
And it's the room because the people who were there each time we're having a good time, but it's so spread out and the acoustics.
Is this the lab?
The lab, yeah.
The lab, okay.
My last few shows that I've run there have been good, but like, I don't know, just being thrown up on a random show. Even like major headliners were like not getting laughs. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But anyways.
That's sort of how I came into... And then, like I said, I'm incredibly persistent. I just literally, just don't stop. I'm like, because I have no social skills. I'm basically,
do you really?
Yeah, I always say a high functioning sociopath. So
that's what he always says to me.
Yeah.
Whenever
we're
having lunch and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to finish my fries.
Right.
And then maybe.
But that just means I have trouble with emotion. So it's sort of like, oh, you seem nice. You will be my friend.
Yeah.
And I will call you until we have lunch. I'm so bad at social cues. So when you text somebody and they don't text back 19 times, I'm just like, oh, well, maybe they didn't get it. And I'll text to the 20th. Yeah.
And I remember we talked about on the podcast before David took a sociopath test.
Yeah. By the way, I gave the same answer he did.
Yeah.
So it was
really without knowing what
what it was. When they said the question, I was like, oh, it's, you know.
And what was it? Do you remember?
It's basically a woman goes to a funeral and... I think it's like she goes to her brother-in-law's funeral and she sees the guy and...
I think it's her... Okay, so I think it's a woman goes to her brother's funeral.
Right.
And she meets a guy at the funeral that's really hot and I think they have like a conversation and she falls in love with him. And then the next day, she kills her sister. Why did she kill her sister?
No,
isn't that it?
No. The part is the next day she ends up back at another funeral where she sees the guy again. What happened? And I immediately was like, oh, she killed somebody to see the guy.
No, that's not the question. Cause that's an easier, you wouldn't understand. I would know that answer.
Right.
But it's so much more like, sister, like she kills her sister.
We
so
should
like,
look
why?
It up because this is the second time on the podcast
where
we've gone, where I've heard the last time you're like, what is it? And then you guys went back.
Well, it's I'm pretty sure it's she kills her sister because that's like such a weird thing for her to
do after the funeral.
I found it. Sociopath test funeral.
Okay.
Oh, this is a psychopath test.
Oh, damn it.
All right.
I don't know.
Accept the cookies from Cosmopolitan.
Can this question test reveal if you're a psychopath?
People don't, they use the words wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
a woman while at the funeral of her old mother met a guy whom she did not know.
Wait, come here.
Okay.
I keep on forgetting to give you a mic. I'm sorry. Oh. Psychopath test. Thank you, Mahogany. A woman while at the funeral of her own mother met a guy whom she did not know. She thought this guy was amazing. She believed him to be her dream guy so much that she fell in love with him right there, but never asked for his number and could not find him. A few days later, she killed her sister. What is her motive for killing her sister?
Yeah. Oh, right. That's what it is. And I'm like, oh, she wants to see the guy again. Like, I didn't even, there wasn't even a, I'm Instagramming you. There wasn't even a, there wasn't even a hesitation in my mind.
Better.
Okay, yeah,
better angle.
Better one. There you go. I was like, oh yeah, she wanted to meet the guy. Like, and I didn't think anything was wrong with that. And then I heard it, they did it on either the podcast or something. And they're like, oh, David's a psychopath. And I was like,
yeah,
he is? I was like, no.
Well, he had just had a very quick response.
As did I.
Okay, that's nice. So you're both insane. I feel like, I wish I didn't know the answer. I feel like I would have answered that the same way.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think the thing is, if you tell people that question and say this is the test to see if you're a psychopath,
yeah,
then people are going to be like, oh, well, I don't know how to correctly answer
this. And I actually, I heard it as a riddle. So, so I didn't realize that it was a test. It wasn't until the podcast that I think it was on Views or something that they said that that's what the test was. I just thought it was a riddle and I was like, oh, I got it. You know?
Yeah.
No, it's a test, I guess. It's a test and you passed, you're a psychopath.
Exactly.
Or you're just very good at solving riddles pretty quickly.
Could be.
Yeah. But I think the thing that's like anybody who's quote unquote not a psychopath would never think that because they're like, oh, there's got to be a different reason why.
Well, here's a little insight. Do you remember the show Gilligan's Island on reruns forever?
Yeah.
So Gilligan was the, do you not, you've never
heard? No, I've never. I mean, I've never seen the show. Oh, I've heard of it.
It was an old ass show, but reruns. Reruns when I was a kid. Yeah.
I wasn't actually. I am old, but I am not old.
How old are you specifically?
I am somewhere between 48 and 80.
there. 79.
Yeah. So, why is 79?
Because you look old as fuck, you stupid old bitch.
Oh, thank man. You. In the role of Jason Nash today.
That's what Ryan does to our guests. He just berates them.
Yeah.
Makes them feel real bad.
Well, basically, these people went on a 3-hour tour with lots of luggage and ended up trapped on an island. And every week they would try to get off the island. And every week, Gilligan, who was the first mate, would fuck up their ability to get off the island. So my solution in my 12-year-old mind was like, why don't they just kill him?
Yeah.
And then they'd be off the island next week. So I think that actually speaks volumes.
Why don't they just kill him?
Yeah. I was like, he screws it up every week. Just get rid of him and they'd be off the island.
And that's why you're a good executive producer.
Exactly.
You're good at solving problems.
You're good at killing people off.
Exactly.
Let's talk about your project, your latest film.
My latest film.
I had the fucking preview here.
So you're making a movie about Lou Pearlman.
Yes.
Who was the guy, you explain?
Yes. So Lou Pearlman was the impresario behind the boy band craze. Yes. So he created...
In the 90s.
Yes. Okay. So he created... New Kids on the Block. No, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Right.
What happened was, and this is the story, we don't know if it's actually true or not, that he had a plane company and New Kids on the Block used his private jet. And he thought, well, I'm in the wrong business if these kids can afford a private jet. So he started the Backstreet Boys. And then right after the Backstreet Boys, unbeknownst to the Backstreet Boys, he started NSYNC.
Yeah.
So the members of that band didn't start that band. He started that band.
He started NSYNC.
He started the Backstreet Boys. He started both.
Oh, okay.
He started Backstreet Boys and he started NSYNC.
And then later on started O-Town.
He did. He started O-Town and LFO and...
Oh, LFO.
Take Five and Innocence. He had the show Making the Band on MTV. And I think that's where... and so most people know that... NSYNC and Backstreet Boys had they both just yawned at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
mean,
literally, I looked over and both of them are yawning. So I'm just going to continue with the story.
It's funny. It's just because it's morning.
Yeah. Oh, he's asleep.
Exactly. Even Ralph is like, you see him, he's hung by a noose, you know, like, dear God, enough with that story. No, so most people know that there was trouble with both the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC with their management. You know, there was a lawsuit and what have you. What most people don't know is that Lou Pearlman, after that, went on to start one of the largest Ponzi schemes around, which all ultimately collapsed and caused most older people to lose their life savings. So it actually impacted even more people than Madoff and his.
And what is a Ponzi scheme? I can't.
So basically, remember. A Ponzi scheme is where the only way to make it work is the new people that come in, you're using their money to pay interest and dividends to the original people who were in it. So it looks like they're getting this crazy rate of return. And what happens, though, is eventually you stop getting new people. Yeah. And it's usually some incident that happens. Like with Madoff, it was the whole property crash. And so he couldn't make... And if that hadn't happened, who knows if it would have been. It all of a sudden was like, oh, wow. And then people get nervous and they start wanting their money back. And then in this case, he was being investigated. And I think he saw the writing on the wall and fled. And that's when all of a sudden people realized there was no money.
Let's check out this trailer.
I think it's playing in both the window and the...
Oh, I thought that was like an effect to make... Yeah. And are you playing Godsmack as well? Or is that part of the trailer?
That's
part of the trailer?
Nicholas,
it sounded like three different tabs playing at the same time.
I think just Nicholas created a really bad film. I think that's
what's exactly.
You have some editing.
So before we play, I would say we partnered with Lance Bass, who was a member of NSYNC, and he's one of the producers of the film and in it. And so he came to Pilgrim and we decided to make this film, and then he got the other members of the bands.
Mm. All right, here's the actual version.
Don't ever forget that this is show business. Always remember that while you're doing your show, your business can be walking out the back door.
Well, the boy band craze to me was this amazing time in history that changed everything.
We start selling out stadiums, start selling out arenas.
You see a girl pass out in front of you, and you're supposed to just keep performing.
People were selling a million records a week. Like, nobody had ever seen sales like this before.
And what a lot of people don't understand, the man responsible for this was Lou Pearlman.
Impresario behind Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Lou was head of our family. We would have dinners, we would tell him everything.
This guy is the guy pioneering music on the radio.
Things were going great for us. This was gonna be our first check presentation.
A lot of money now, this is gonna be nuts.
I open up the envelope, I see the check, and oh my gosh, like my heart sunk. I couldn't believe the number I was looking at.
It was this person that I had all this complete trust in. Suddenly, the carpet just got ripped out from underneath us.
You sell almost 10 million albums. I could have made this much working full-time at Starbucks.
Something isn't adding up. Lou's getting paid, promoters are getting paid.
The deeper they dug, the worse it got.
Never in a million years thought a person that I entrusted my life with could do something like this.
It went from Jolly Lou to like, I don't give a fuck about you right now.
Then to find out how many other people this thing that he did affected.
One of the FBI agents I did a lot of work with, he looked like he had a bank fraud case involving Lou Pearlman.
Webs upon webs of robbery.
Every parent is protective of their child, and I was so angry.
It was all truly criminal.
He would use his power and influence to try to manipulate young performers.
It's not for me to decide, man.
He terrorized me.
If Lou didn't feel bad, then he's a monster.
Lou gave us all the ability to have life today.
I wonder how we could sleep at night.
Lou has all the power.
A man who had everything.
He stole my life.
Had the world in his palm of his hand.
I just wanted to kiss him.
I gotta take a break for a second, guys. All right? Yeah, I just need to...
The people who are fighting me, will be damn, damn sorry.
Sounded like Trump at the end.
Yeah. That was actually Lou.
Yeah.
So
that looks hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very like a great uplifting. Comedy.
Yeah. So we premiered at South by Southwest.
How was that?
It was fantastic because we were in the big Paramount Theater.
Mm. And why weren't we invited? I don't know why.
You were. You didn't return my texts.
I wasn't invited. You didn't invite me.
No, I did not.
What the fuck? I would have gone. Ass. Sorry. Now I feel betrayed.
Exactly. So, and then it was fantastic. And we are actually going to be in theaters here in LA at the Arkwood Sherman Oaks starting Wednesday the 27th. And then Friday the 29th, we're having a Q&A after the 7 o'clock show with Lance.
Is Lou going to be there?
No.
Yeah, what's Lou up to these days?
He's dead.
He's dead?
Yes. Nice.
How did he die?
I killed him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I needed an ending.
You needed an ending.
We needed an ending. So, no, he died in prison.
Oh, no shit. Man. So he went to prison.
Yes.
Is that a spoiler?
No. Okay. Most people know that he went to prison, but they don't really know why. Yeah. They think him and they think, oh, the boy bands, and he must have. Most people say, oh, it had something to do with that.
Yeah.
And that lawsuit, and actually did.
Whenever I watch a documentary like this, or like a true crime, like even a biopic, mm-hmm. I always go in not knowing anything about the case, so that I'm surprised story-wise.
Yeah.
Like with the Firefest, I didn't know anything what happened to that guy, Billy. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, are they going to catch this guy? What's going to happen? So you're saying that he is now.
Yes, he died a while ago. Yeah, it's always like on the Dateline or whatever, I'm always looking. I'm like, is that a prison wall? He's wearing blue. Is that?
Yeah.
Is he out of prison? Did he get, yeah, it's a really fascinating story, and we did it with YouTube Originals. So it's going to premiere on YouTube Originals or YouTube Premiere's main channel on April 3rd. And then before that, it's in New York and L.A. For a week, and there'll be a Q&A in New York as well. It's at one of the AMC theaters in New York.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's Congrats. Actually,
thanks. I'm really proud of it. It's We fought hard to, most people, they hear, there was a Vanity Fair article about Lou Pearlman, and it was like, besides the Ponzi, whatever it is, he liked boys. And that's why he had the boy bands around. And he went to, and that's the story most people want to tell. Although you sort of realize, and even in that article, that's a great headline, mm-hmm. but there's so much more about what happened.
And who was your favorite boy band member to talk to? Like, who was the coolest? Because I saw you interviewed Lance Bass.
Yeah, we interviewed, Lance is amazing. I mean, he's just been an amazing partner through the whole thing.
Cool.
So I just...
He seems very normal.
He is incredibly normal and incredibly nice. And really excited about wanting to do it. But what was what's really funny is that every once in a while I'll send him a photo. Like I found a photo from my office at Oxygen 17 years ago. And if you look above the bookshelf, there are the four marionettes from No Strings Attached. Mm. Each department had bought me an individual NSYNC action figure and then took me to the concert. So there's photos of me from an NSYNC concert. Every once in a while, I'll send him another piece of memorabilia.
And that's when he's like, oh, this guy's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he was like, we need to get you a set of the bigger marionettes. I'm like, there are bigger ones? I just have these. These are and then I think that Nikki DeLoach, who was in Innocence, she's amazing. Her ability to tell the story mm-hmm. of what happens and actually AJ, who is from the Backstreet Boys, also fantastic. I mean, they were all great. Lance's idea was, rather than have every person from every band, he wanted to, or have it just be the Backstreet Boys and just NSYNC. He's like, let's pick two people from each band, one or two people from each band. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, listen, I'm surprised there were three NSYNC people there because there was JC, Chris, and him.
Did you reach out to Justin Timberlake?
No, but his mom was in the...
Oh, okay.
And Lance... it was funny. He talked about it at South by Southwest. They're like, oh, Justin's not in it. And they're like, well, he's like, I didn't ask. He's like, he would have said no. He's like, but it was more important to me, Lance, to have his mom there because Lance and Justin, I think, were the only two who were underage. So their moms traveled with them the whole time.
Mm. Wow. Crazy.
And again, what a lot of people don't realize is that NSYNC in the very beginning, couldn't do anything here in the States. He had to bring them over to Germany to actually have them come back and be.
Why? Because they weren't popular?
They just couldn't get the popularity here. Okay. Like they were, you know, down in the 70s, 80s, whereas Backstreet Boys was top 10 from the beginning. And then they, so he took them over to Germany and started there.
Now, we tried getting Aaron Carter on the podcast. I DM'd him and he was going to come on. Then his agent was like, no. And I think maybe it's because I think he was going through a rough time.
Yeah, I think that is what it was. He was going through a rough time, and I think he after a while was just like, I'm going to take a. He was nice enough to interview with us, and then you know, and I think he has a lot of, you know, everybody feels differently about Lou. Even Lance said that after the lawsuit, all they wanted to do was renegotiate. After the lawsuit, if he had just reached out, Lou had just reached out and said, "Listen, guys, I want to let's do something more fair and what have you," they would have taken him back as the manager. Mm-hmm. He was like their dad, right. But he never did. Once he turned, he never contacted them again.
Jeez.
Yeah. He ended up suing them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so.
And Lou Pearlman, if you Google him, he looks like somebody who would try to fuck you over.
Yeah, he is like that. That was also what's amazing about this is that if you look at this guy, Google Lou, you're like, that's the
boy band
guy? That's the boy band guy who's a multi-millionaire. And I think the saddest thing was he was always a con man his whole life. And in the movie, we get into everything from his early life to the end. But cool. With the boy bands, it was sort of like, you know, I always say, like, if you ask 100 people out, 3 are bound to say yes.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Or like you, if you send 300 texts.
Exactly. God bless you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Either that or a restraining order. And, you know, I've got a great lawyer. So
I got to stop this fucking noise. Sorry.
Okay.
Has that been going the whole time? Because I feel like I've heard it like in and out.
No, it. I think one of the saddest things about it is that his success with the boy bands was a real success. I mean, he made hundreds of millions of dollars, and at that point, he could have stopped all of the Ponzi scheme, all of the, and just been legit.
Yeah.
And he couldn't, and he continued to do it.
He was addicted to con.
Yes, I think that that's why we call it the boy band con, is that he was from the very beginning.
Ah, I like the double meaning, because I read boy band con, I thought boy band convention.
Ah.
Boy band con.
Boy band con.
No, far more sinister than that, right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
and it was great, you know, I got to hand it to YouTube, is that Suzanne Daniels, who was the head of entertainment at YouTube, you know, it was supposed to be on in November. And we just thought, wow, we have something really great here. And Craig Piligian, who owns Pilgrim, called her and said, listen, I know it's supposed to go on in November, but can we at least try to get into South by Southwest? Because South by Southwest is a film festival and it deals with music.
Yeah.
And we thought it's the perfect place. And, you know, she, to her credit, went to finance and all that and said, listen, if they get a shot, if they get in, I want to move the premiere. And, you know, it's basically their TV network, YouTube Premium. And to move something is not as easy as there's all sorts of things involved. And we got in, we were one of the first that they chose, even before they sent out the final, sort of the first round, they said yes to us. And then they moved it. And then, so afterwards, so, okay, we have the new date, April 3rd. And then we said, well, what about allowing us to have a, you know, a limited theatrical run? Hmm. And they're like, fine, have a limited theatrical run. And so, you know, it's pretty cool. Not a lot of people get the opportunity to do that. And we got to make the film we wanted to make.
That's awesome.
Which was...
Congrats. I mean, Brandon and I are both pissed that we're not in it, even though we had nothing to do with it. You could have fucking interviewed us, dude.
Yeah, asked us about our day.
Yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? What if in the middle of the film it just cut to? Yeah.
How was your day?
I had some yogurt land. It was right, pretty sweet.
Exactly. Or actually, would it be even better? Dave Holmes is in and he's fantastic. It would be if we just cut to you and you were talking about it as if you knew. Like, I don't even know
who's
that
Dave?
You were born.
Who's Dave Holmes?
He was a VJ.
A VJ?
Yes. Video.
Video jockey.
A video jockey. It was what the people on MTV, you know, what they would throw to the different...
It's like, this next song coming up. Like,
I keep forgetting you are a child. So you probably weren't even born when...
I was around, what year was this? I was born in 1994.
This was early 2000s.
Yeah.
I was around.
So you were five when this came out. But wouldn't it be great if we just cut to you guys? You're like, I remember, you know, when Lance called me about when he got that first check, and as if you guys just were there.
Totally.
People
would
be like, who the fuck is that? Who are these guys? He was 5 years old when...
Yeah.
He's very mature for his age.
It's true. That would be funny after the movies. What do you guys think? Was it good? It's like, did you guys notice that Brandon, that fucking Vine fuckhead?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, this Vine
isn't
fucks.
That, is that Brandon from Vine?
Yeah, from Vine. Jeez.
Yuck.
Well, I promised people on the last episode that we would read an email, so we can close on an email.
Oh, cool.
Give a young person a suggestion.
Wouldn't it be great if it was an email from me? Dear Ryan.
Lunch?
Why haven't you...
Lunch. All right, well... let's finalize where people can see this. When is it available for rent and purchase?
It will be on YouTube's premium on April 3rd. And if you live in New York or LA, you can look at the Arclight in Los Angeles.
Hell yeah.
And AMC in New York.
Sweet. Mm. What good timing we had serendipitously.
I know, absolutely.
Send me that info. Text me that info.
I will text you that info.
And I will ignore that text for 3 months.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, here's an email from Sierra. Ready, guys?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm a... wait. God damn it. Another child emailing us. Just kidding. Email us at imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. Hi, guys. I'm a senior in high school who's getting ready to go to college next year. And, well, one of my closest friends happened to choose the same school as me, and she feels we should room together next year. That's a run-on sentence, Sierra. I've heard some major horror stories about people rooming with their best friends and then hating them afterwards, and I would hate for that to happen. Do you guys think we should room together or maybe branch out? Also, do you have any stories about rooming with friends? I think she shouldn't live with the best friend, especially in a dorm.
Absolutely not. Especially since when you go to college, you're like the friendships you had in high school, hopefully they can stay, but they change.
Yeah.
So I don't think that will be a good idea.
And college is good to challenge yourself to meet new people and make new friends. Mm-hmm. If you room with a best friend from high school, you might just hang out with each other.
Yeah, you guys are going to get annoyed with each other after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived with a best friend in college. Not in a dorm, though. My friend Adam. You know Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We weren't not a good fit, roommate-wise. Mm. He's very, very laid back. Would always invite people to just pop in. Like, go over anytime. So I'd be home alone. Like, yes, I'm alone.
Mm. And then people would just...
His girlfriend shows up. Like, yeah. God damn it.
And you have to deal with someone's living habits. You don't know what they're like living, right. Like alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One of my other roommates lived with Adam and our friend Chris. He used to just eat my food. His girlfriend would just make a mess. Classic roommate stuff.
Mm. Well, especially at that time of your life when, you know... Like, what? It's a bag of potato chips. And you're like, yeah, but you don't understand. I bought that with the last dollar I had. Yeah. So now I don't have any potato chips, you know? And it's just a lot more stressful.
Sierra, do not live with your goddamn best friend in college.
I mean, continue to be friends, but don't live with each other.
I say, kill her.
I say, do not listen to Rye. For the love of God, please.
Killing part.
Yeah, about the killing part.
Oh.
Don't live with her, but don't.
Oh, yeah, don't live with her, but just don't kill her.
This is not Slender Man.
No. Please don't do that. But no, just, she'll end up being your best frenemy.
That was really fucking clever.
Thanks, man.
Brandon, do you picture yourself ever having a roommate?
No.
No?
No, never. No, I can't do it.
Let's live together.
Huh?
I want to live with you.
No.
Oh my God. You can't see it, but like, it was the most genuine. Brandon spent the entire podcast. No.
No, I mean, like, I can't live with anybody.
You lived with your brother, right? With Jesse?
Yeah, and we hated each other when we were living together.
So but you were like, that was before you moved out, right?
Yeah, it was before I moved out.
Okay. So you never...
I had one other roommate that
oh,
was...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I had one other roommate that was fine, but it was only fine because we lived in like a really nice apartment. Mm-hmm. If we lived like in a regular apartment, like not a regular, but like a shitty apartment, then it would have been like, I don't know.
Yeah, Adam was in the RV with me for a week. That got old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Oh, it's one thing to be in an apartment, but in an RV?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Just for a week, just having to pass by each other. It was just annoying.
Well, how did the whole jerk-off situation happen? Because I'm assuming you guys masturbated on the RV.
Great question. Yeah. I'm guessing he jerked off in the bathrooms that were supplied by the RV park.
Nice.
Oh, so you didn't you would go to the RV park and they would have like where you could shower and
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
that's better.
Yes, nice. And they had just jerk off booths.
Yeah, I invested in some of those. I think
they're right next to porta potties.
Right,
they should have those on the street.
Jerk off booths.
Well, I guess the street is the world's jerk off booth.
Well,
dude, that's some fucking philosophical shit, bro. Come on, give me. Hell yeah, man!
Wow,
breaking ground.
I have to pee really bad, and we're an hour in. So.
Oh, wow. All right. So we will say goodbye.
You were a great guest.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sometimes I have to pry and be like, come on, say something interesting. And I even say that.
Mm-hmm.
I go, be interesting, go. But today I didn't have to.
Yeah. What I don't know is that we're not actually recording the podcast.
Yeah, right?
It's just like, for fuck's sake, let him pretend he's on. He's desperate.
Every episode I do think that.
Our therapist called you and like, dude, you got to have him on the phone.
Yeah.
If I have to listen to how he wasn't the first gay guest, then I'm going to have to lose my mind.
She's actually here right now. KJ, came on in. All right. Well, thank you, Nicholas. Do you want people to follow you? Where are you?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm N Caprio. And on Instagram, I'm Nicholas Caprio.
And not Nick.
No.
Hmm.
And that's it.
Cool. Thanks, dude.
Absolutely.
Oh, we have a new person to thank. For being a $25 patron.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Thank you, Nicholas Caprio, for... This is what... You get that.
That's right. That's right. At the end, you thank the... who were the other the other two?
Steve Marshallek and Ross Miller.
Mm.
I don't even have to look them up anymore because they're our best friends.
And yeah, they're best
you're
pals.
You're one of them now.
You donating $50 a month?
$100 a month.
$100 a month.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. And also, let me know when you have a guest house for me to move into for free.
Absolutely. Well, I don't have a guest house. You'd have to actually stay in the main house.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, get that guest house, dude.
I'll build a guest house. wouldn't it be great if I built a guest house? I'm like, so Brandon, guest house.
Like, dude. All right. Thank you, Ross Miller. Say thank you.
It's like you're my dad. Say thank you to Ross Miller. Thank you, Ross Miller.
And Steve Marshallek. And Nicholas Caprio.
And Nick Caprio. Can I have my Slurpee now, Dad?
No.
It's bad for you. It's poison. All right. I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.